Turn tonight in Mark's Gospel to the 12th chapter. We'll be reading verses 18 through 27. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies, leaves his wife behind, and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died and left no offspring. And the second took her and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as wife. And Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the Scriptures, nor the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels who are in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. It's interesting to me that Kim was preaching this morning about heaven, and I'd planned to preach tonight on this theme. Is there a resurrection? Is there life beyond this earthly life? I know we affirm it nearly every Sunday in the Apostles' Creed, that we believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees said there was no resurrection. And interestingly enough, many today would agree with them. Say there is no life beyond this. I've known people of that nature. Say when you die, that's it. Nothing more. This is all there is. And multitudes of others, even people in the membership of the church, give little thought to the whole idea. I mean, what difference does it really make in their day-to-day lives? Is there a resurrection? The Sadducees were the old believers. They clung to the ancient religious views and rejected new ideas and developments represented by the Pharisees. They accepted only the first five books of the Old Testament as being Scripture. They seemed to be incapable of fresh insights. And it's rather obvious that they knew what Jesus believed. They came to him with a question to which they were sure there was no proper answer. They had a very hypothetical case based on the Mosaic law of Levirate marriage. Under this law, if a man died without children, then his brother should take his wife, and the first child born to them would be accounted to the dead as the dead man's child, and his line would continue. Now, they propose a situation where there were seven brothers who, in turn, all had the same wife. I couldn't imagine a woman suffering more than that, but anyway. That's the question now. All seven of them have had her as wife. Whose wife will she be in the resurrection? This hypothetical case, the Sadducees were sure that they had Jesus trapped. There was no answer that he could give. There just wasn't any way they could see how he could answer them properly. And Jesus responds with a two-edged sword. He asked, is this not why you are wrong? The Sadducees were sure that they were right and everybody else was wrong. You've met people like that. They're right. Everybody else is wrong. That was the Sadducees. But Jesus asked them if they're not wrong in two places. First, he says, you do not know the Scriptures. And this was a blow that almost would have floored them. If there was anything they were sure of, it was that they knew the Scriptures. They studied them. They were scholars. They were authorities on the Scriptures. To say that they did not know the Scriptures was about as hard a thing as anyone could say to them. But then Jesus goes on to quote from their Scripture to prove the reality of the resurrection. He goes back to the time of Moses, experience of God speaking to him from the burning bush. And there God had said to Moses, "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now Jesus says the living God was surely the God of living people. And this being true, if God were the God of the living, then there had to be a resurrection. For Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been dead long before Moses was born. How it must have smarted when Jesus said to them, "You are quite wrong. You don't know the Scriptures." But then he said also that they did not know the Scriptures, "For you know not the power of God." Not only you do not know the Scriptures, you do not know the power of God. Not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God, they had no ultimate foundation for faith in eternal life. They just had no foundation to believe. Not understanding the whole scriptural revelation of God, they had nothing in life worth keeping through eternity. And I want us to consider some lessons from this incident tonight. The first is that we should not create heaven in the image of earth. This is what the Sadducees did. This has always been the tendency of people to create heaven in the images of earth. The American Indians were great hunters, and they thought of heaven as a happy hunting ground where they could hunt all they wanted. The Vikings, who were warriors, thought of Valhalla where they would fight all day, and where at night the dead would be raised and the wounded made whole so they could fight again another day. This was heaven to them. The Jews hated the sea, and they thought of heaven as a place where there would be no more sea. And so it goes. People have tended to imagine heaven as a place where the things they disliked were absent, and the best, the greatest dreams of this life were all fulfilled. We should always remember not to create heaven in the image of earth, even the very best image. Kim used the Scripture this morning, but Paul was right when he took the words of Isaiah and made them his own and said, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them who love Him." Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for them who love Him. The heavenly life will be greater than any conception that this life could possibly supply. Jesus said, "When they rise from the dead, they're like angels in heaven." Now, none of us can say with any certainty what this is like. We simply have to continue on in faith and trust the unanswerable questions to God. However, we can trust in God as He's revealed to us in Jesus and in the Scriptures. Jesus based His conviction on the resurrection on the fact that the relationship between God and His people is a relationship that nothing can break. The Apostle Paul affirmed this in Romans 8:38-39 when he said, "I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That has become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There's nothing, not life, not death, not anything that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you have a vital and creative experience of God, you have that which is worth having forever. If you have a personal relationship with the eternal God, that relationship is eternal. Paul, nor the psalmist who cried out, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy countenance, and afterward receive me into glory. Neither Paul nor the psalmist could ever conceive of their relationship with God as being broken. A relationship for eternity. So say first, don't create heaven in the image of earth. You can't imagine what it's going to be like. Build a relationship with the eternal God that can never be broken. And one other thing I'd have us to look at briefly tonight. Jesus said to the Sadducees, there is a time for us to say, you're quite wrong, or you are greatly mistaken. He said to the Sadducees, you're quite wrong, and there's a time for us to say that. It seems to me that we live in a day when most are so afraid of offending someone that we could just never say to someone, you're just wrong. You're wrong. We are hesitant to affirm our faith for fear of hurting someone else's feelings. However, to the secular forces that say there is no spiritual force in or behind the universe, there's needed the quiet and confident affirmation. You're wrong. You're quite wrong. To those even in this day who would shout about a superior race or nation or sex, the dogmatic words need to be spoken. You're quite wrong. To those who would say, do away with the Ten Commandments, saying they are outmoded for our day, and in certain situations, lying and stealing and killing and adultery and profanity and idolatry and covetousness are justified, we need to say with a clear voice, you're quite wrong. To those who out of a greater knowledge would take advantage of the ignorant and the weak, the clear cry needs to be raised. You're quite wrong. To those who would settle all issues with violence and solve all problems by government spending, there needs to be the robust affirmation, you're quite wrong. To those who would make light of the Sermon on the Mount and joke about the golden rule and the voice of faith needs to sound forth, you're quite wrong. Let us learn from this passage. Learn that the resurrection and heaven are real for those who have built a relationship with God that can never be broken. However, we should not try to create heaven in the image of earth, for it's greater than we could ever imagine. And also there is a time to speak up against evil with a confident affirmation. You're wrong. You're quite wrong. God, give us wisdom to know when to speak, the courage to speak, and the love and compassion to know how to speak for Him. Lord Jesus, we just thank You that we have the hope of the resurrection and of eternal life with You. Knowing You in the here and now is such an abundance of life. We cannot begin to imagine what it be like to be with You eternally. Help us, Father, to live in the assurance and the hope of the resurrection every day. And help us to have the courage, the faith, the assurance to speak that word for You that we need to speak. And we pray in Jesus' name.